Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue to take a look at St. Paul's letter to the Romans. We're given readings from chapter 8 at Mass the last couple of days. It's just full of rich teaching, the teaching of St. Paul that, literally, if we internalize chapter 8, so much of our experience of the Christian life will just deepen, grow, be fruitful, because really, in some ways, the core of what the Christian life is all about is summarized right here in chapter 8. The whole idea of having a new life in the Holy Spirit, being made children of God by the power of the Holy Spirit, overcoming condemnation, hopelessness, life without an ultimate future, but being baptized into Christ and being able to have a relationship with the Father, with God, our Creator, having clear identity as sons and daughters of God. And maybe the most beautiful part of it is the whole idea we touched on at the end of the program yesterday, which is in chapter 8, verse 15 and following, where St. Paul said, "We did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of sonship. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is the Spirit himself bearing witness with our spirit that we're children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him." This is just pure gold, friends. So Paul's saying, verse 15, "For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear." What's he referring to here? Well, the human heart, beginning with Adam and Eve in the garden after the fall, is filled with fear because death enters the world and the dominion of sin is present. And we become more subject to the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we're cut off from relationship with God. Adam and Eve had walked with God in the garden. They had fellowship with him. And sin really divided. And we live in a fallen world. And humanity now dies. And death casts a shadow over the human mind and the human heart. And in some ways, much of the energy in life and in society is built around staving off the inevitable, either denying or running from the reality of death and the fact that each one of us someday is going to die. And Paul makes the point here that you're not going to fall. The Spirit brings us into freedom. The freedom comes from living in the truth, that is, living as sons and daughters of God by a new power and a new capacity in us, that's the presence and life of the Spirit, that gives us power over death. We're going to be able to because Jesus passed from death to life, because death could not hold him down, that he was a light that shone in the darkness, and the darkness could not overcome it. Jesus took in his person, in his flesh, humanity, he's the second Adam, he took you and me and everybody baptized into him into an entirely new place vis-a-vis the powers of sin and death. The writer of Hebrews says it's the devil's strategy to enslave the human race through the fear of death. There's a lot to that. There's a lot of truth to that. And human beings fight against it, but without the power of the Spirit and the light that comes from Christ, what's the light? That is the glory of God that shines on the face of the person of Jesus. We see in Jesus through faith our destiny. And Paul touches on that destiny here in this section, this reading. He says, "But you instead have received the spirit of sonship, which cries out, Abba, Father." So the spirit we've been given in baptism is the spirit of the Son of Jesus. Jesus brought us into the entirely unique relationship that he has with God the Father. We're God's children now. So John the Apostle would say, "Beloved, we're God's children now. Come and have fellowship with us. Come and join the family. Come and be in the family of God by God's grace, God's mercy, through repentance and baptism and new life in the Holy Spirit." And it's interesting how he describes in verse 16, he said, it's the Spirit himself. When we cry, Abba, when our hearts no longer live in fear of God, in a slavish fear, but we have a healthy fear of the Lord because of his awesomeness, because of his power, because of his ultimate judgment, and we stand before him in that the magnitude of his holiness and his grandeur and his glory, there's a healthy fear, a healthy fear that says, don't act in a way that compromises your relationship with God. It's an extremely unwise thing to do, the most unwise thing you can do. Fear sin's ultimate consequence. Allow the Holy Spirit to help break the power of sin and the habit patterns of sin in your life to break you free of it. You don't have to live in fear any longer. You now live in the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. And it's demonstrated, Paul saying, that our heart begins to look to God as Father. Jesus, over time, gives us his affection, his security, his identity before the Father, and we share in that. And it brings peace and harmony, integration to our lives right at the core of our being, which is the heart itself. And he said it's the Spirit of God that dwells in us that gives us conviction that we're children of God, that it's not just a thought we've created in order to help us escape the fear of death. This is a reality that we've been given by the person of Jesus Christ, who's Lord of all. The Spirit of God within us speaks to our spirit, giving us conviction that we're children of God. And if children, Paul says, then we're heirs. If we're children of God, we inherit. Jesus is the one who inherits all that the Father has. He's the beloved Son. And Jesus brings us into that inheritance because we're actually children of God. We become heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. And it's interesting, he ends this section by saying, provided that we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Jesus makes it clear throughout his teaching that to follow him means, to be a disciple means to be a learner, to learn his life, and to follow him and to walk into his footsteps. Jesus said, the purpose for which he came was to establish the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the rule and the reign and the order of God. Jesus is Lord of that kingdom. He's exercised authority and he's come to break the powers at work on the human mind and heart, the human person, that prevent us from entering in and living in the kingdom of God. And what are those powers? The world, the flesh, the devil, that the battle within us, the battle around us, the battle coming at us, you could say, all those realities, and then the weakening of the flesh through original sin, though the stain of original sin is dealt with, we still have an attraction to sin and what this church calls concupiscence, a kind of weakness in the face of it. We need God's help and God's power to do it. And Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. The world ultimately does not have power over your life unless you allow the world to have that power. The devil doesn't have power unless you allow him to have that power. If you're baptized into Jesus and baptized into his church, you're given the gifts and the strength and the grace you need to live in freedom and ever-increasing degrees of freedom. And Jesus said, if you follow me, the world's going to hate you. He said, because it hated him first. What does the world hate? Well, the devil does not want the reign of Christ, does not want the kingdom of God. He wants this to be his dominion. Jesus has ultimately broken his power, and he's fighting like crazy, that is the devil, to maintain his hold on people. The flesh wants its own way. The world resists God. The kings of the earth set themselves against the Lord and his anointed. So these forces are set against God's people. And as a result, because of anger toward God, a secret rancor in the human heart against God, hatred for God, and the ways and the rule and the kingdom of God, that's the real thing, is that people, they're glad to have some idea of thought of God, some pleasant things, as long as he's not the Lord, as long as he doesn't have full dominion, as long as people don't have to obey him to find eternal life, but they can do what they want to do, that's the kind of God that people in the world are happy with. They're not willing to follow the Lord who says, all things are meant to be subject to him. We make it our aim to please the Lord. Primacy belongs to him in everything. He is the final judge of the living and the dead. He defines what is good, what is evil. It's all him. It's all about him. And human beings resist it out of pride, the submission and the humility of bowing the knee to God and saying, yes, you're God, I'm not. Jesus is Lord and his Savior, and I desire him to be my Lord and my Savior. I want to follow him. So Jesus said, when you get to that point, of really giving your life to Him and you start living for Him, you're going to live in a way that's countercultural, especially now in our country as it moves toward into ever greater degrees of public secularization, you might say, and resistance to the teaching of God and the teaching of Jesus, right? So if you identify with Jesus, you're going to receive what He received. That's exactly what He said to us. And He said, but Paul is saying in his exhortation, if you're willing to suffer with Him, if you're willing to be identified with Jesus and live under His lordship, remember, Paul would say in another place that Jesus died that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for Him who for their sake died and rose again. There's a transition in becoming a disciple that I realize I no longer belong to myself. I belong to another. I belong to God. And now the whole point of my life is to make it my central aim in life to do what pleases Him. That's going to put me in the crosshairs with the world, the flesh, and the devil at different times. And Paul said, those dominions have no ultimate authority over you, so don't be afraid of them. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. So follow Jesus wholeheartedly, loving Him first, and putting Him in that place of primacy in your own heart, your marriage, your home, your family, everything you put your hand to. Put Christ first. Do everything for His glory and for His acknowledging His favor and grace in your life. But Paul said, you'll suffer for a time here on earth. It'll be short, but what it's going to do, it's going to lead to glory. All those who die in Christ are destined to share in His glorified state, His existence of being absolutely wrapped in the glory of God the Father in a perfect, delightful, joy-filled, free, completely whole and integrated existence in heaven. It's beyond our wildest imagination. So Paul goes on in verse 18, he says, I consider then that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. So he's keeping, you know, he's setting his mind on things above, the glory that awaits us. So he said, the suffering here on earth is nothing compared to the glory that awaits us. He said, for the creation awaits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For creation was subjected to futility. So the creation is suffering from its limitations and futility in itself. All of creation needs to be liberated and groans for the liberation that's going to come from God, the full freedom of the sons and daughters of God. Verse 31 in the same chapter, beginning part of today's readings. Actually, I'll back up to 26. He says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. The Spirit we've been given that teaches us to pray helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts of men knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So the Spirit of God brings us into the mind of God. We have the mind of Christ, Paul will say. It gives us understanding and clarity about what's truly valuable, where we find ultimate fulfillment and human happiness. The Spirit of God is our counselor, is our teacher, empowers us to live this new life in the Spirit. So friends, let's today ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, fill our hearts, teach us, and help us to see and experience the reality of being children of God. Hope you can join me again tomorrow. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789, that's 1-800-282-4789, or go to renewalministries.net/FOE, or subscribe to our podcast.